This is a summary of Hidden Potential by bestbookbriefings.com. Hidden Potential. The Science of Achieving Greater Things. By Adam Grant. Getting better at getting better. Character is often confused with personality, but they're not the same. Personality is your predisposition, your basic instincts for how to think, feel, and act. Character is your capacity to prioritize your values over your instincts. If personality is how you respond on a typical day, character is how you show up on a hard day. Personality is not your destiny, it's your tendency. Character skills enable you to transcend that tendency to be true to your principles. It's not about the traits you have, it's what you decide to do with them. If our cognitive skills are what separate us from animals, our character skills are what elevate us above machines. As more and more cognitive skills get automated, we're in the midst of a character revolution. With technological advances placing a premium on interactions and relationships, the skills that make us human are increasingly important to master. Embracing the unbearable awkwardness of learning. Becoming a creature of discomfort can unlock hidden potential in many different types of learning. Summoning the nerve to face discomfort is a character skill, an especially important form of determination. It takes three kinds of courage: to abandon your tried-and-true methods, to put yourself in the ring before you feel ready, and to make more mistakes than others make attempts. The best way to accelerate growth is to embrace, seek, and amplify discomfort. The way you like to learn is what makes you comfortable, but it isn't necessarily how you learn best. Sometimes you even learn better in the mode that makes you the most uncomfortable, because you need to work harder at it. This is the first form of courage, being brave enough to embrace discomfort and throw your learning style out the window. Comfort in learning is a paradox. You can't become truly comfortable with a skill until you've practiced it enough to master it. But practicing it before you master it is uncomfortable, so you often avoid it. Accelerating learning requires a second form of courage, being brave enough to use your knowledge as you acquire it. When discomfort is a signal of progress, you don't want to run away from it. You want to keep stumbling toward it to continue growing. That takes a third form of courage, not just embracing and seeking discomfort, but amplifying it by being brave enough to make more mistakes. Early mistakes help us remember the correct answer and motivate us to keep learning. You don't need to get comfortable before you can practice your skills. Your comfort grows as you practice your skills. If we wait until we feel ready to take on a new challenge, we might never pursue it all. Finding the sweet spot between flawed and flawless. It's one thing to care about attaining success and avoiding failure. But perfectionism takes expectations to a whole different level. The goal is zero defects, no faults, no flaws, no failures. Perfectionists excel at solving problems that are straightforward and familiar. The real world is far more ambiguous. Once you leave the predictable, controllable cocoon of academic exams, the desire to find the correct answer can backfire. Research suggests that perfectionists tend to get three things wrong. 1. They obsess about details that don't matter. They're so busy finding the right solution to tiny problems that they lack the discipline to find the right problems to solve. They can't see the forest for the trees. 2. They avoid unfamiliar situations and difficult tasks that might lead to failure. That leaves them refining a narrow set of existing skills rather than working to develop new ones. 3. They berate themselves for making mistakes, which makes it harder to learn from them. They fail to realize that the purpose of reviewing your mistakes isn't to shame your past self. It's to educate your future self. But how do we change? The ideal foil for perfectionism is an objective that's precise and challenging. It focuses your attention on the most important actions and tells you when enough is enough. Ultimately, excellence is more than meeting other people's expectations. It's also about living up to your own standards. After all, it's impossible to please everyone. The question is whether you're letting down the right people. It's better to disappoint others than to disappoint yourself. Before releasing something into the world, it's worth turning to one final judge, you. If this was the only work people saw of yours, would you be proud of it? Getting unstuck. One of the most frustrating parts of honing a skill is getting stuck. Instead of continuing to improve, you start to stagnate. It feels as if you've reached the upper bound of your mental or physical capacities. But the reality is less linear and more uplifting. A rut is not a sign that you've tanked. A plateau is not a cue that you've peaked. They're signals that it may be time to turn around and find a new route. When you're stuck, it's usually because you're heading in the wrong direction, you're taking the wrong path, or you're running out of fuel. Gaining momentum often involves backing up and navigating your way down a different road, even if it's not the one you initially intended to travel. It might be unfamiliar, winding, and bumpy. Progress rarely happens in a straight line, it typically unfolds in loops. Finding the right method involves trial and error. Some trials will just be plain errors, we spin our wheels on bad strategies. But even if we discover a better method, our inexperience with it will usually make us worse at first. Those backsteps aren't only normal, in many situations they're necessary. To find our way, we need scaffolding in the form of some basic navigational tools. The bad news is that a perfect map won't exist. The good news is that to start moving, we don't need a map. All we need is a compass to gauge whether we're heading in the right direction. Depending on the skill you're trying to learn, you might discover a compass in a book, on the web, or in a conversation. To navigate that path effectively, you need a guide. As tempting as it is to turn to a trusted mentor for sage advice, no individual will have all the right directions. No one else knows your exact journey. But if you collect directions from multiple guides, they can sometimes combine to reveal routes you didn't see. The more uncertain the path and the higher the peak, the greater the range of guides you'll need. The challenge is to piece the various tips together into a route that works for you. Opening doors and windows. Character skills and scaffolding can help us unlock hidden potential in ourselves and those around us. But to give more people the chance to achieve greater things, we need something bigger. Creating opportunities on a larger scale requires us to build better systems in our schools, teams, and organizations. When we think of geniuses as people with extraordinary abilities, we neglect the importance of life circumstances in shaping them. The effect of opportunity is more than just a correlation, and it goes beyond wealth, it lies in geography too. Some zip codes are hotbeds of invention, and landing in them has an impact. Role models also matter, and underrepresented groups often have a hard time finding them. Good systems provide the opportunity for people to travel great distances. They open doors for people who don't grow up with means, offer windows to those who get turned away at the door, and shatter glass ceilings for those who are all too often denied a shot to break through. Instead of only looking for geniuses where we expect to find them, we can reach humanity's greatest potential by cultivating the genius in everyone. Diamonds in the rough. If natural talent determines where people start, learned character affects how far they go. But character skills aren't always immediately apparent. If we don't look beyond the surface, we risk missing the potential for brilliance beneath. Ultimately, the key indicator of potential isn't the severity of adversity people encounter, it's how they react to it. That's what a better selection system would assess. A promising approach is to create metrics that objectively compare students to their peer group. Although this approach can help us identify some uncut gems, many difficulties are more subjective and harder to measure than tough grading and financial hardship. We need a way to assess the distance people have traveled to overcome the unique obstacles on their path. When we evaluate people, there's nothing more rewarding than finding a diamond in the rough. Our job isn't to apply the pressure that brings out their brilliance. It's to make sure we don't overlook those who have already faced that pressure and recognize their potential to shine. Whether you prefer to read or listen, we have something for you. Visit bestbookbriefings.com now for more summaries.